to your mind instead. But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao.
Good evening, everybody. This here's Rick Crawford taking introductions here from a beautiful Arizona evening, guys. As you come on the line, don't be shy. Jump on out here. Give me an opportunity to welcome you to our first ever Crawford Revolution call, guys. We're going to have some fun here tonight, and we're going to do a lot of training and coaching, and I hope you all stick with us through the whole call. The call will at least last about an hour long tonight as we get going. So as you come on the line, don't be shy. Jump on out here. Let us know who you are and where you're calling in from tonight.
Hi, Arizona.
Wow, that was a waterfall of people. I heard a few Arizonians in there. Let's give it another try, guys.
Greg from Kentucky.
I read Chrissy in Arizona.
I heard Greg. I heard Chrissy. What are you guys?
Jen in Arizona.
I heard Jen in Arizona. Welcome to the call.
James in Arizona.
Hey, James in Arizona. Welcome to the call.
Brian in Arizona.
Brian in Arizona. Welcome to the call, Brian.
Tim in Marion, Missouri.
Hey, welcome, Tim in Marion, Missouri. Lots of exciting things happening, guys. As we ramp up this call, we have no idea what's going to happen tonight. So as I want to put this out here, as you guys are sitting on the line right now, please forgive us if we wind up having more than we can handle here and the conference bridge blows out. Hopefully we won't have that tonight. Hopefully we'll have a nice, smooth run of our first call because we have a lot of stuff we want to deliver here. We want to change lives, guys. It's all about paying it forward. And that's kind of the mindset we want to start building here and helping people with that mindset. So as you come on the line, don't be shy. Jump on out here. Let us know who you are and where you're calling in from. Don't be shy, guys. If you didn't have the opportunity to jump out here, I see the bridge is getting full. We have quite a few people on the line here tonight. Well, that's kind of nice. I like to see that. All these people showing up front, center, and present, ready to make some major shifts, major changes in their lives, moving forward. So, guys, as you come onto the line, don't be shy tonight. Jump on out here. Let us know who you are and where you're calling in from tonight. Boy, total silence. We have some shy people because I see there's a lot of people filling up this bridge. Somebody jump out here and let me know if you're still hearing me. Maybe you're not hearing me.
Suzanne in Arizona.
Hey, Suzanne, welcome to the call.
I hear you calling, Rick. It's Chrissy.
Hey, Chrissy, good, good. Guys, if you're just now dialing in, we are here close to the top of the hour, you know. And we want to get this show started so we can give lots of information to people, really help people move forward or transform their situation. Guys, I just want to put out a disclaimer here as we're starting this call. You know, the things that we say on here in this call are for our purposes only and our purposes only of helping educate people to move forward in their lives, to transform and change their situation, whether it be relationships or business opportunity or even maybe even a private business or maybe even just functioning better in your own relationships, in your job, whatever it might be, just life in general. That's the whole key of what Crawford Revolution is all about. Susan and I have great ideas of how we want to give or pay it forward. We want to create a community of people that are paying it forward. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a lot of the education that Susan and I have gotten over the years for personal development, for mindset, for NLP, for marketing, for whatever it may be that we've had put together. We want to put all that together, and we want to pay it forward. We want to start just handing that out. So, like, it's just free, wonderful, great stuff to mentor people, help them move forward in their lives. Suze, I'm going to bring you on out the line here because I know you probably got a few things you want to say. Jump on out here and join me. Or maybe we lost her. We might have lost her. I'll have to have her dial back in. So guys,
I was mute challenged.
There you go. See, that is, I always say that is the key. You guys want to know how to have success in any industry that you have, at least in our industry, it always seems like everybody's mute challenged. It's my beautiful, lovely wife. You know, for those of you that are on the line that do know us and then don't know us, you know, I'll let Suze give you a little bit of our story, a little bit about us, and she can take it away from there. It's all you, babe.
Hey, thank you so much. Welcome, everybody. I tell you what, I love spring because spring has sprung. It is the official first day of spring. I know a couple of you online with me have some snow in your backyards. And if you're here in Arizona, we've got a beautiful day, simply a little overcast. But it's always a beautiful day as long as that's what you decide in your lives. And that was one of the big things 7 years ago when Rick and I really took back our lives. We realized we were living in existence. We were never seeing each other. We never saw our kids. And that was one of the things we wanted to change. So for us, it was a matter of finding a way to work smarter, not harder. And we realized that the first thing that we needed to do was work on ourselves, work on our thoughts, work on our minds, improve our skills. And that's really what kind of started leading us down this path, being able to have like-minded people, finding the right people to train us, to mentor us. And I tell you, I thought I spent a lot of time, effort, and money in college. I've got a whole lot of degrees that don't do a whole lot for me anymore, it seems like, other than it taught me how to learn. What it has done, though, is it showed me how to find what I really needed. Because everything that we need to change our lives, to turn the direction in the way that we want, is available to us. We just simply have to seek it out. So I want to say congratulations to every person that's on this call because you have absolutely done that. So kudos to each and every one of you. And I tell you that a lot of the training that Rick and I have gotten, a lot of the education, it has come in many forms. Live conferences that we've gone to, individual workshops with some of the best of the best in the personal development and mindset arena. From audio tapes to books, to book clubs, you name it. And there is absolutely nothing in our repertoire that we're not willing to bring out. If it's going to serve the community, if it's going to serve you, whether it's, again, like Rick said, if it's in a business, whether it's in a personal relationship, no matter what it is, the vast majority of the principles that we talk about and teach, you can turn and utilize in everyday life, in just about every situation out there. So that was kind of the direction that Rick and I decided to go in order to set our lives free. So for the last, for 7 years, Rick's been retired now. For the last five, I've been retired, being able to work from home, being able to help people. And that's really kind of, I think, the difference is that our purpose, our focus is on helping people. And that was really what led us to creating Crawford Revolution and having the Power Hour calls. There's a lot of times that whether we were talking about corporate America, whether we're talking about in a classroom, maybe you're talking about being a home-based business owner, that you get part of the information, but not all of it. It seems like people want to keep their trade secrets. You know, Coke doesn't let their formulation out for a reason. And I understand that to a certain extent, but I don't agree with that as far as the education model goes, because I believe that the information is out there. We should be willing and able to share that and not hold it back just for a select few that maybe we like them better, maybe we're in business with them. And that was kind of our goal, was to be able to have a broader reach, to be able to help even more people, regardless if they're on a team with us, in a company with us, our next-door neighbors, or anything along those lines. And that really kind of explain the intention and the purpose that we have from these calls. And we are incredibly excited. And I think hopefully each and every one of you on here already has gotten, you know, access to our topic. It's going to be a five-part series. And tonight's really going to blow you away because we're going to talk about two tiny little things that can be a huge difference in every aspect of your life. And those two things, and we'll go into depth with them obviously here, is the intention that we have. And most people, I didn't, for many years, really understand the power of intention and how to apply that to our lives, to our businesses, to our relationships. And we're also going to talk about perspective. Most people have heard that old saying, one man's treasure is another man's trash. We've all heard those types of things. But what does it really mean, and how do you apply it to your personal life? And those are going to be the kind of the overarching topics that we cover tonight. So, Rick, I'm going to throw it back to you if you want to kind of start us off, because you were have always been a master of intention. Even before I could even explain that to someone, that's exactly what it ended up being for us. So let me throw it back to you.
Hey, thanks, Suzanne. You know, I always think it's funny when she says that I'm the master. What a nice compliment. I don't ever think of myself as the master of something. It's just the always the intent. And it's really what you move forward with, the intention of your thought process of how you do things for people. So if you're intending upon, you know, selling somebody into a business, or you're intending on doing something that is basically against somebody else's will, if your intention is not in alignment with yourself or with them, you're going to find that you're going to ruffle a lot of feathers. And what, for me, intention is a lot of things. It's what you put out there. It's how you put it out there. It's how you deliver it to a person. You know, a story. I always love to tell stories, and as you guys know me, the ones that are on the line, you know I love to tell a story, and you know those that don't will get used to hearing my stories and Suzanne's stories. But there was a time when I was younger and I first started out in network marketing, my first venture in network marketing, and I failed miserably in it. But long story short, I wound up in Los Angeles at a millionaires convention, and the room was full of people. We were having a good time. I was young. I was about 22 years old, and I really just didn't know where my life was going to go, how it was going to happen, or what things were for me, but I was having a great time with people, enjoying this event that we were at. And when I went outside, I was walking along the sidewalk with a group of people, and I had a homeless guy come up to me, and he was asking for money. And, you know, I reached in my pocket, and being the young kind of arrogant kid I was back then before pre-personal development, I handed him some money, and the guy got really furious with me, got really furious. His intention was he was trying to get more money out of me, I guess. He thought I was being a cheapskate, and at that time, I thought I was handing him, you know, some decent money. I handed him a couple dollars, and the guy got mad, and he started calling me all kinds of names, and I just looked at him square in the face, and I reached up, and I grabbed a hold of that money and ripped it right back out of his hand, and I said, but I may be one of those people, but at least I'm not broke, and I put it in my pocket, and as I walked away, I thought, wow, you know, whatever set him off, we both reacted to each other's intention. So this homeless guy could have had a couple extra dollars to buy him dinner, whatever, alcohol, whatever he was into. But later on, I had a mentor of mine was talking to me about something. And he was talking to me about giving, you know, when you give something to somebody like that. Because I was having a tough time as I got older when I would give money to my children, and they wouldn't use it the way I thought they should use it. And he said, you know, Rick, the power of intention. What is your intention when you give somebody something? When you give somebody knowledge, when you give somebody money, when you give them, whatever you give them, you really can't have an intention behind that other than to give it with the gifts that you hope that it changes their lives, or you believe that it's going to do something to better their life. And you release all emotional attachment to that. And it was a really good lesson for me, because it was one of those things that I didn't get it when I was younger. I didn't get it at all. You know, I wanted to fight back with that person. My intention was just to battle back with that person. My intention wasn't truly to help that person. I could have just left that guy with the money and walked on and not had any emotional attachment. But instead, I had a confrontation with him. But it weighed heavy on me, because that night I slept in a warm bed. That night I had a warm meal. And really, those few dollars wouldn't have made a difference in my life or changed my life that drastic, but it could have changed his life. And it could have changed his life enough to, if nothing else, to put something warm in his stomach. Of course, he was in Los Angeles. You know, don't get too cold there, but it does get a little chilly there. So, you know, when we talk about intention, what is your intention when you're doing something? You know, as Susan and I were preparing and putting all this together and deciding for what we were going to do with Crawford Revolution, our intention was to really just pay it forward. We wanted to start a community of people that would do the same thing for people. So you would share this call with other people. It would help other people grow and expand their lives financially and spiritually. You know, so that's pretty much what I would have to say about intention. I don't, you know, it should come natural for us, but it doesn't.
I think that many times, though, we go about our daily life and we don't even really think about what's our intention for the day. You know, we just do our thing. We get up, we make breakfast, we drink coffee, we take the kids off to school, we go to our job, whatever it is that we do. And we don't really purposefully think about our day. What do we really want to accomplish in that day? What do we want to leave the world with at the end of that day? It's not a common thing. It's not like I used to be an elementary school teacher. I used to be a high school teacher even. It's not like anybody ever told me to teach kids about intention. Oh, well, you should have a certain intention as you go through your day, you know, or meeting someone. Now, I will say, when I started interviewing for teaching jobs, principal jobs, I started figuring out, okay, well, if I think positively, if I see myself as that teacher, as that principal, working in that building, and, you know, so I kind of started getting into that mindset a little bit, but I didn't really realize I was truly setting an intention. So as we go into every activity in our day, we could set an intention. We could set one for our overall day or for the week or for the month or our life as a whole. And I think a lot of that kind of goes back to figuring out, what is your purpose? What is it that you want to have people say about you when you're gone? Do you want to be forgotten? I actually heard an amazing lady talk about the reason that she was in the business that she was in. And she said, I am in this business because of my great-great-great-great-grandfather. And we all kind of looked at each other like, okay, why? And she says, do you remember your great-great-great-great-grandfather's name? And nobody in the audience could say yes. And she goes, well, I can't either. But if he would have made a mark on the world, if he would have changed this world, I would be able to give him, everybody, his name. She says, that's why I do what I do, because I want my great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren to know my name. I want them to be able to tell the world about the mark that I left. And I started thinking about that. How amazing, how profound is that? If you think about the history books, you think about the people we remember. Why do we remember them? Did they invent something? Did they do something? Was it good? Was it bad? And there's actually a really great movie. It's called The Emperor's Club. If you've ever been on our calls or if you're on our calls very often, you'll know we talk about songs, we talk about movies, we talk about TV shows and just about everything else that we can pull from. But The Emperor's Club has Kevin Kline, and it's kind of reminiscent of Dead Poets Society, if you remember that movie. But he starts off talking about someone in history that was basically forgotten. And he was forgotten because he didn't create significance in the world. There was nothing that was changed in the world by this person. So even though he had been a ruler, nobody knew who he was. So what significance are you going to create in this world? And the only way we're going to create a significance is if we have intention behind it, because that's what's going to lead us. And I'll tell you that I believe we're always constantly growing. We're constantly expanding our knowledge base, our awareness, our understanding overall. And I happened across a book that my husband actually bought for me about 5 years ago. He knows I love to read, and he would go to the bookstore, and he would find these books that just made him pick them up. So every once in a while, he would come home with a stack of books, and I'd go through them, and I'd read them, and for some reason, I kept this one book, but I didn't ever read it, and he kept asking me, because every time we'd move, I'd pack it, and he'd be like, are you ever going to read it? I'm like, I am someday, just not yet, and I was getting ready to go lay in my pool chair, because that's my favorite thing. That's why I live in Arizona, so I can spend the vast majority of the year in my pool chair, and I love to read. That's kind of like my sacred time. I give myself at least 30 minutes a day that I can go and do that. And I needed a new book. I'd finished. And he goes, well, there's not too much left on your bookshelf that you haven't read yet. He says, well, there's that one that I bought you a long time ago. And he kind of chuckled. And I'm like, yeah. And I went over and I looked at it and I said, you know what? I am going to read that. There's something that tells me I should read that book. And it happened to be the book, The Power of Intention by Dr. Wayne Dyer. And I started reading that book, and for anybody who knows me, I'm a voracious reader. I can read, well, you can ask my husband, I can read thousands of pages in a day. I remember a whole heck of a lot of it. I'm blessed with a great memory. And I then kind of our job, we have different roles in our marriage, in our relationship. I read, I summarize, and then we have these great discussions, and then which always makes me remember other important details, or we'll listen to something. So I could only read a chapter a day, and they're not really that long of chapters. And he was really amazed because we were having these really great discussions. He goes, but I'm really surprised you're still reading the book. And I said, because there's no way I can read more than one chapter a day because there's so much information coming to me, and it is totally blowing my mind. It is totally changing the way I look at things and the way I'm thinking, that if I tried to put more than that one chapter in, my brain would explode. So as we're going through this book, the whole thing, again, is about the power of intention. And I thought it was just, okay, so I get up and I'm going to have a great day. I'm going to have a positive, successful day. I thought that was setting my intention. And to a certain extent, it is. But Wayne Dyer starts talking about what he calls the seven faces of intention. And his belief, and I have absolutely adopted this too, is that if we approach the situations in our life, the people in our life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a business deal, whether it's your day-to-day activities with your kids or your friends, if we can find a way to meet all of these situations through one of these seven faces of intention, then your life is going to be exponentially better. You're going to create a more successful, abundant life. You're not going to have as much stress and anxiety and sickness. You're going to be able to bring more joy to more people. So he says that the seven faces, as he identifies them, are love, pretty good, easy one for most of us to understand, kindness, beauty, which he also says is synonymous for the word truth, unlimited abundance, expansion, or another word would be growth, receptivity, which was the toughest one for me to really understand. Receptivity, for if you don't know, means I have to want it more for somebody else than I want it for myself. And then the last one is creativity or creation. He says if we can encounter these situations and people and times in our life, and if we can look at them through these seven faces of intention, nothing is outside our reach. So I've been reading this book, and it made sense to me. So he even gives you activities in there and ways to put it into practice in your life. And I remember we would, say, be out and about, and maybe we would see someone dressed very uniquely, acting very uniquely, and typically our response was, oh my. Okay, so it's not like we were judging and condemning and you know, putting them down and tearing them apart. At least that's what we thought. We would just go, oh my. But everybody in our family knew that if we said that, it was kind of like, okay, look around. What are we seeing? Really, we were judging. We were condemning. We were passing judgment on the fact that they weren't looking or acting the way we thought that they should, and who are we really to be placed in that position? So Wayne even talked about that in this book, about how the less we do that, instead we meet that person with one of those seven faces of intention, and I'm like, gosh, how do I do that? So what I started doing was, any time one of those thoughts would come up, or if I actually said it or I'd catch myself thinking it, I would purposely stop that thought, and I would look at that, and, you know, maybe it was a person dressed very uniquely. And instead of going, oh, wow, gosh, huh, did they look in the mirror, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever my thought process was, I would immediately stop that, and instead I would go, you know what, that person obviously has so much creativity in them, and this is one way that they found in their life to express that. How amazing, how wonderful is that? Well, that's a very different thought than, oh my. If you run across that person, we were coming back from the bank, and there was a gentleman alongside the road an elderly man, very dirty. He had a patch over one eye, very emaciated, and he had a sign. And it said, "All I want is to eat." And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, it made me pause because I'm thinking, that could be my grandfather. And how horrible. He obviously doesn't have any support system to help him. So we did our little errands in that little shopping center, and we had to stop by the bank. And so I asked for some extra cash back. And she's like, well, is there, you know, she knows, my banker knows, I don't care what type of bills you give it to me. And I said, wait, but can you give me this, this, and this? And she's like, yeah, sure, why? And I said, well, I don't know if you noticed that gentleman out there earlier. And, you know, he's simply asking for some food, so I'd either, A, like to give him some money to go buy some food, or, B, go give him some food. And she's like, he's out there all the time. And I said, well, do you eat every day? Well, yeah. And I said, well, maybe he wants to eat every day, too. So, see, even in her response, she was judging him. She wasn't meeting that situation through any of that positive forms of intention. And I said, well, regardless, I would like to be able to help feed him for this day. And then so we stopped. I gave him some money, and I ended up chatting with him for just a couple minutes, and I found out that not only was he feeding himself, but he was feeding his wife and his disabled son. And they had a place to live, but they didn't really have anything else. So what he did was, when they had absolutely no food left in the house and absolutely no money left, then he would go out and he would beg for food, and he would take all of that home, and he would split whatever he got with his wife and his disabled adult son. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was blown away. And I had to walk back into the bank the next day and tell my banker that story. And I said, so if he's there every day, I'm going to feed him every day. And she said, well, how do you know for sure what he's going to do with it? Kind of like what Rick was talking about. And I said, it doesn't matter. I'm doing it with the right intention. I'm giving that to them out of love, out of kindness, out of receptivity. I wanted him to eat more than I wanted to eat that day. And every time I see him, I feel so wonderful when I can help him and his family. And it has nothing to do with me being able to get anything back from him. The simple smile on his face is more than enough payment. But I would not have looked at that situation in that way prior to understanding the intention and the power of it in my life. Now, I know Rick has utilized intention and even the seven faces of intention without necessarily maybe knowing that's exactly what he was doing in drawing a lot of different things to him over the years. So I'm going to kind of let him share that with you. And then we want to kind of go a little bit deeper into the perspective that we have on things.
You know, guys, as you're sitting here listening to all this today, I just want you to know, if you're present, you're really present, and you can even go back and listen to this because we're going to record it, it will absolutely change your life because it has changed my life. And looking back on my life, how often I've used it in certain forms or certain manners, I've used the law of attraction. Let's talk about the law of attraction, my intention. You know, I used to always think that if you just made a wish, it would come to you. Everybody's a genie, and they're going to grant that wish for you. And what I realized was intention has a lot to do with that because it really has to do with your intention behind it. And we could spend hours and hours breaking down the psychological part of intention in the human psyche and how it works. But what's really cool about that, Susan and I will make it simple for you guys. We'll make it easy for you guys, easy enough that when you walk out of this or get off of this call, you'll be able to actually implement it into your life and see a major shift for yourself. And I can tell you that major shift will start attracting people to you like you won't believe. Because for myself, a story again. Some of you know, some of you don't know. Some of you guys are new to this call, but I love to tell the story about my beautiful bride and how we met and how things worked out because I was in a marriage before. My marriage wasn't such a great marriage, and I had two children in my first marriage, and I vowed that I was never getting married again. And all my friends used to give me a hard time, and they used to always say, hey, Rick, you know, you're a great family guy. You know, you really should be married. And I made a joke one day with a bunch of my buddies, you know, yeah, you know, I'll get married when I meet the right guy. She's got to be 5'9", blonde, blue eyes, extremely intelligent. You know, I figured, let's order the whole pack. Sweetie's volleyball team is really what it was. And I said, you know, blue eyes, extremely intelligent. I don't want a girl who's wishy-washy. I want her headstrong. I want her to know what she wants in life. She's got to be a great cook, because I dated lots of girls that couldn't cook worth a hoot. And, you know, most of all, she needs to be driving a brand-new green Ford Mustang, because I'm tired of girls borrowing my car. They would always borrow my Jeep. I had a Jeep back then. And my buddies all laughed about it, and they made up this poster, Rick's Perfect Girl. And it hung above my desk. And it was there for a couple of years, as a matter of fact, about 3 years. And every day I would come into my office, and people would tease me. Back then I was a massage therapist, and I was working in chronic pain and rehab. And people would come into my office, my patients, and I'd see about 13 patients a day. So I was seeing quite a few people, and they would always joke about Rick's Perfect Girl on the wall. And they'd be saying, yeah, you know, do you think she'll ever show up? And I said, yeah. You know, that's the girl I'm marrying, so unless she doesn't, you know, that girl on the paper there doesn't show up, it's not going to happen. And about 3 years of that hanging on my wall, I was out getting some groceries in a grocery store, and one of my patients said, hey, I want to introduce you to my roommate. My roommate's thinking about going to school for massage therapy. And she introduced me to Suzanne, 5'9", blonde, extremely intelligent. She won't tell you that, but she has one of the second highest IQ that came out of the state of Nebraska. Not only that, I love to brag on her. Not only that, but, you know, she was a phenomenal cook. I gained 57 pounds our first year of marriage. And, you know, the funny part about it is the day I knew I was getting married was on our second date when I was getting ready. She was coming by to pick me up. No girl had ever picked me up before to take me out on the town or buy me dinner. And so she wanted to treat me to my favorite Oriental restaurant. And so she said, I'll come get you. Well, and she pulled up in front of the house. My roommate at that time turns to me and he says, whoa, buddy, you're getting married. She was driving a brand new 96 green Ford Mustang. So, you know, the law of attraction, what we put out there and our intention for putting it out there is what we bring back into our lives. And so, you know, sometimes people think it is your wish is filled, but your intention is you have to put it out there, and you have to know what you want. You have to have that driving force to keep you working towards what you want, but you also have to let go of all the emotional baggage of getting it. Well, it didn't come fast enough. Okay, so, you know, that poster hung on my wall for 3 years. Did it fail after the first year? Yes, it did. After the second year, yep, it sure did. But after the third year, it was delivered. And part of that was my own intention, because I made jokes about it for the longest time. But as the years started going, I was actually looking at that poster going, I will settle for nothing less in my life than perfection. And that's when she showed up. And so, guys, you know, honestly, it's your intention. What is your intention in what you're doing in your relationships, how you're moving forward? Now, always think about this. You know, everybody meets Susan and I, and we've been married going on 17 years now, and we're still newlyweds. We've had our ups. We've had our downs. We've had our arguments. We've probably rattled the windows and made the neighbors go, oh, my gosh, what's going on next door? But we've also had probably the most blissful relationship that I've ever been in my life. And part of that was is because my intention every day is not about what I'm going to get out of our relationship. It's about what I can do for Suzanne, how I can make life easier for her. What kind of things can I take care of? You know, my grandfather and my father used to always say, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. And I used to always think that was a funny joke because kind of my mom ruled the house. Well, my grandmother ruled the house. But what I realized was it wasn't about Suzanne ruling the house. It was about taking care of my prize bride. It was giving her everything that she positively could deserve in life and taking care of her better than anybody else could take care of her. You know, the cool part about that was I didn't have to ask for anything because her intention would deliver it right back. She had no problem spending $40,000 on a motorcycle with $15,000 worth of extras on it and surprising me. That's powerful. But my intention was not to get the motorcycle out of her. My intention was to be happy, to be in a great relationship, to be actually, you know, a great example for my children of what a real relationship should be, a healthy relationship. So my intention was always to work towards bettering that. So, you know, the intention falls in our lives in so many different ways. And here's the cool part about it. The quickest way to make a shift in your life, and I can tell you that you don't have to wait till you've heard our 492nd call in order for your life to shift. Your life can shift right now. Your life can shift today on this call because it's actually becoming more aware of you and how you interact with people.
You know, and I think Rick brought up a really great point, and he was talking about how his intention first of all, I'm so excited that we recorded this, and you guys are all my witnesses that I'm perfect. Did you all catch that when he said it? I'm thrilled. But regardless of that, his intention was to make me happy. And somebody actually asked us when we were doing a meeting at Starbucks the other day, well, I've heard that saying, well, what happens if mama's not right? How do you take control back? And I said, well, that's really simple. Trust me, you show her that it's not the right thing and it's not making her family happy, it's not moving them forward, it's not creating a positive outcome, she'll change what she wants. She'll change what makes her happy because, at least from what I've found in my personal experience and the people that I know, the number one thing that makes mama happy is when her cubs are happy and when her papa bear is happy with her. So I think that what's important in that, though, is that Rick said he concentrated on what was going to make me happy. And as a result, I was compelled to do things to make him happy. It wasn't because he told me he wanted certain things that I did them. It was because I wanted to make him happy. And I want everybody to think about the fact that everybody on this line, no matter what company you work for, no matter what job you have, you might be a student, maybe you're retired. You still have a job being a retired person. Maybe it's a job being a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a friend. Okay, so we all have these relationships. And a lot of the times we think that we have changed our mindset into a positive direction. Maybe let's say you work for corporate America and you're part of the sales force. Well, do you go into that meeting with the thought of, I'm going to make a big commission today? I'm going to be able to take mom out for dinner. I'm going to make mama happy. I'm going to take her out for steaks. Or is it, I want to make some extra money so I can take my family on vacation? Okay, all of those are positive outcomes. Absolutely. You don't walk into that type of a situation with, oh, well, let's see if I can stink it up and lose the contract. Even as a friend, I don't go and sit down with a friend thinking, what can I get out of them today? What can I get them to do for me? Maybe they'll buy me coffee. No, I go into those, you know, meetings going, oh, I'm so excited to be able to spend time with this person. I'm excited just for the time that they're giving me. Maybe instead of how can I make a bigger commission check because I'm in the sales position, instead it's, okay, well, how can whatever I have to offer, maybe it's a product, maybe it's a service, how is my product or service going to be able to help this other company or this other person? How can I best convey to them, first of all, that I want to help them? Second of all, the benefits that will help them. And they can see that I'm not looking at them as a sale. I'm looking at them as an individual. I'm looking at them as someone to be able to help. You know, in this past 12 months, we've lost a legend in the personal development mindset industry, Zig Ziglar. And I'll never forget, I'll be honest, folks, when we got into this industry 7 years ago, I thought personal development was fluff. I thought it was hocus pocus, you know, whatever. I have a very analytical mind, very pragmatic, and I didn't have much of a touchy-feely kinesthetic side. So I'm like, oh, thoughts become things, right, I'm thinking about a swimming pool, and I'm in the middle of Missouri, and it's snowing. See, it didn't work. But I remember reading a quote by Zig Ziglar, and I'm probably going to butcher it, so I'll just give you the overall gist of it. The fastest way to get what we want is to help as many other people get what they want as we possibly can. And I started thinking about that. I was a teacher because I wanted to make a positive difference in this world, and I thought the fastest and best way that I could do that was by impacting the youth of our country. I wanted to be a mother because I wanted to create and experience a wonderful generation of children, and I knew the fastest way to do that was to have one of my own. And plus, you know, I'll admit, I figured my mom did at least half of what she did with me raising me wrong, and I was going to prove that I knew how to do it right. And if anybody else is a parent, they probably experienced that thought. But it was more about helping, and I realized, well, it's the same thing in every relationship that I go into. It's the same thing if we're in sales or if we're in marketing or if we're married or if we have friends. Is it really just what's in it for me? Because if it is, I would guess you don't have a whole lot of fulfillment. And maybe that's why you're not getting where you want to go as fast as you want to go. Maybe you're not going into it with the intention of, I just want to be able to let this person know I love them. I care about them. I want them to experience kindness in their lives because, oh, sorry about that beep. Got to love the security systems on home. Maybe I should want the positive outcomes for them. Even more than me, because Zig said the fastest way to get what we want is help as many other people get what they want. I don't think there's too many people out there that want to be homeless, that want to be broke, that want to be unhappy, that want to be depressed, want to be overweight, whatever you can think of, any of the negative connotations that we could put out there. I don't know of a lot of people that actually really truly want that. They might be caught up in it. Well, what's the fastest way for us to help them out of that? Show them a better way. Be willing to help them and not worry about what we're getting out of it, but know that we're going in with the positive intention and they're going to get whatever it is that they need out of it. As long as we are true to our purpose, true to our intention, they're going to get whatever it was that they were supposed to out of it. And that was a big lesson personally for me. Rick, anything else you want to throw out there about intention before we move on to perspective?
No, I think that pretty much covers it, Susan, intention. I mean, we could actually do a four-hour call just on attention and really breaking it down. And what I would like to do, Susan, is I'd like to offer to people, as we're building this relationship with you guys on the line, and you're telling people about this wonderful call that you went to and how it's starting to transform and change things in your life, that you're going to share that with those people. But as you're building that with those people and you're paying it forward, I eventually would love to see us where we open it up and we have a Q&A night. So, you know, one of these, as we start building, we'll open it up to where we actually have a Q&A. So it's not just us lecturing people. It's truly helping people move forward. Because, you know, Sue's hit on something earlier, and I'm going to just veer just a little bit away from that. She talked about depression. And, you know, depression is on a rise in the United States. It's huge. And do you know what depression is really derived from? It's really derived from not making a decision. That's where the core of depression comes from, the subconscious mind of not making a decision. So if we can help people to move forward, change their lives, experience new things, move quicker, they'll get much more blessings in life, and the depression will go away. There's other things they can do. Exercise and sunshine, some of the greatest thing in the world for depression. But anyway, take it away, Suze.
Hey, thank you. And I actually want to touch on one other thing. It deals with perspective, but absolutely with intention as well. I mentioned the story about, you know, coming across someone in Walmart. And, again, the second that I would start noticing that I had certain thoughts that were not in a positive realm, I would stop myself, and I would purposely throw in the right kinds of thoughts. And you have to remember, I was reading this. I was working with it. I was, like, absorbing it like a sponge. And Rick and I would talk about it, and we came across another type of that incident, and I immediately said the positive form of the intention. I didn't actually even think the old way at all. And he was like, wow, how did you do that? Because he could tell that it wasn't me stopping myself in the middle and changing it. He knew that it was coming just straight from me, from my core. I had truly changed my thought pattern. And he goes, how did you do that? Because I'm the how-to person. He's the one that just feels it, and it just is. I wish I had that capability. Me, I have to tear it apart, and I have to figure out all the pieces on how to build it back together and the how-to. And I said it came from a lot of very purposeful thought. I had to be very cognizant, very aware of every thought, and not every, as many thoughts as I possibly could that were going through my brain, through my mind. And, again, purposefully, and this is weeks, guys, that I did this, very, very purposefully was monitoring my own thoughts, stopping them the instant that I knew they weren't where they needed to be, and changing them. And actually, I would throw in even more than probably what I needed to, because I wanted to inundate my thought pattern. I wanted to inundate my mind with the right thoughts to pull in that type of a situation. And I don't know, Rick, what, probably 2-3 weeks until it became automatic. And it was such a blissful awakening and a true awareness that came over me when he brought my attention to the fact that I had done that. And it was kind of amazing because I noticed that we were having more success. We were relating to one another better. We were having better conversations than even before. We were having greater experiences with our teenage son, with our team members. And I'm like, wow. So me, all I did was change the way I thought. That's all I did. I didn't ask anybody else to change anything. All I did was change the way I thought. And all these other miraculous changes started happening for me and the people that I was associating with. So we talk about how everything begins from within. You want to change the world? Change yourself first. We change it one person at a time, and that one person is us. Because we are the only person that we have control over, true control over. And I think that goes straight into perspective, though. You know, I said earlier, one man's treasure is another man's trash. One person can be given a diagnosis of bone cancer with 3 months to live, and it's the worst day ever in their life. Another person looks at it as the first day of the rest of their life, pure freedom.
You know, I have a story to go with that, Suze. One of my aunts, many, many years ago, before all the technology and cancer research was out, was diagnosed with cancer. And actually, God, if she's on this line, I love her. I love her to death, Aunt Karen, because she may be on here tonight, because I've invited my whole family to just listen to Suze and I talk. But, you know, I think the power of what was really cool, what happened with her was when she was standing in the doctor's office, the doctor actually told her she had about 6 months to live. And she pointed at that doctor, and she put her finger right in that doctor's face, and she says, how dare you give me a death sentence? And she walked out of that office. And, man, that's been over 20-some years. So I guess that six-month timeline didn't catch up with her, and she went completely into remission. But, you know, she decided that she was going to not live by somebody else's rules. And I know that sounds funny because we put a lot of rules in this world, a lot of rules in how things go and what you should do. You know, I'm not telling people to go out and break the law, but I'm telling people that sometimes somebody may judge you by what you're doing or what you have done or what you maybe have done in the past. For instance, I'm a network marketer, and a network marketer with passion and love. I love what I do in this industry because I change people's lives. So a lot of people make fun of what I do, but I don't buy into what they make fun of, because I could turn that around and do the same thing, make fun of those people that are stuck in a cubicle that don't have the freedom to enjoy their life and do the things that they want to do and spend it with their family, because that was my awakening. So, you know, it's buying into your own beliefs. It's building concrete on your own beliefs. And if you catch yourself doing those things, as Sue said, because I didn't understand that part of the analytical side, you know, how she shifted that way because she was so analytical. For me, I just make a decision. You know, I was a chronic smoker at one time in my life. And when I say a chronic smoker, I was smoking about a pack and a half a day. And one day one of my best friends said to me, he says, you know, Rick, smoking's for weak-minded people. Boy, that made me mad. It just, excuse me if I offend anybody on here, but it pissed me off. It pissed me off royally. He was calling me weak-minded. That was my best friend. So I threw those cigarettes in the trash can. And I quit smoking. Now, I will tell you that I loved a good cigar every now and then, but it's not an addiction. It's not something that I have to have. You know, I grew up in a family full of people who have addictions. And everybody told me, well, if they have addictions, you'll have addictions. So, you know, there's so much tied to this that intertwines in everybody's life. It's really making a decision, guys. It's making a decision of what you won't stand for. I wouldn't stand for anything less in my life than that beautiful blonde who could cook that's extremely intelligent. Now she doesn't have the green Mustang. Maybe I need to buy her a new one. I don't know. But, you know, I'm just saying, I wouldn't settle. So, you know, when people are complaining about how their life is or they're not getting what they want out of life, maybe they need to step back and look at what they're putting out there, what they're paying it forward, how they're giving to other people, what they're doing to transform their life. Maybe they need to get spiritually grounded. And for me, that's a big thing. You know, you have to have some sort of a spiritual basis. Some people will tell you you don't, but I really truly believe that you have to have something in your core that drives you, a purpose, a passion, whether it's helping people. Maybe you don't like to talk to people, but you'd love to help people. Well, there's plenty of ways of doing that. I watched my wife do that with a young lady this year upstate when they had the big hurricane, where she decided on Facebook she saw a posting that they were struggling, and she just started sending stuff to this family, not knowing them. You know, that's a beautiful blessing when you can do those things in somebody else's life. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be a monetary thing. You know, I take it back to before I got into this industry when we were flat broke and we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And I used to talk to my pastor all the time that I just really wanted to tithe in church. I wanted to have the money to tithe. And he pointed out to me, he says, you know, Rick, you're the most reliable person I've ever had in my church, setting up my church and breaking down my church. Because at that time we were setting up our church in a YMCA in Missouri. And every Sunday we would have to set it up on the stage and we would have to break it down and we'd have to put it in a trailer and pack it away. And I did that every day for 3 years, 2 years, 3 years, somewhere right in there. And then all of a sudden, with the intention of how we were talking about our church and what was going on in our church, we were gifted a 50,000 square foot building and that church blossomed and we were changing lives. We were helping homeless people in the streets of St. Louis. It's all about paying it forward, guys. You know, we go through life, we all go through life with our mouth shut, our head down, and glaring. If you watch people as you're walking, I'm a people watcher, so if you watch people as you're walking down the street, how many people give you eye contact and smile and say hello? Not very many. But did you know that when you say hello to somebody or you say something nice, and I'm a habitual complimenter. My wife, she just had to get used to it when she met me, because if I meet somebody and let's say it's a young lady and she's got beautiful eyes, I'll tell her she's got beautiful eyes. You know, if some guy walks up and he's really physically fit and he's got, you know, this ripped body, I'll say, dude, you look like you work out, man. You're in great shape. I have no problem paying a compliment to somebody. You know, when a child does something great, man, I make a big deal out of it, even if it's not my child. Because I know that what that does is if you say something to somebody, so as I'm standing in a public place talking to Suze, visualize this. We're having a conversation in Starbucks, and she's about 3 feet away from me, maybe not quite that far, and we're kind of having this little conversation. And I start saying how awesome and how beautiful she is and how wonderful of a day it is. Did you know that that positive vibration, that energy, seeps out at least 7 feet around us, and it touches everybody else's lives? So just by opening the door and telling somebody to have a good day, you're telling more than that one person walking through that door to have a good day. This all ties to intention. How do we go through life? What do we do in our everyday life that is touching other people's lives? And I can tell you that A lot of people always say to Susan and I, how did you get to be such great, fantastic network marketers? How did you guys get to be the type of people that just has people walk up to you and ask you what you do for a living? It's because our intention is not to sell somebody into what we do. Our intention is to bless other people. We have a good time, and it's contagious. You know, some people might think you're maybe drunk in the middle of the afternoon if you're happy. I've been accused of that. We've actually went and sat down and ordered wine, or actually Prosecco with some of our friends that are here on the line. And when we sat down to order the Prosecco, we were in such a good mood. The gal says, wow, you guys already stopped somewhere else and have champagne before you got here? And I said, no, this is our first. And she goes, well, you guys are in a really good mood. We don't see many people like that. You know, it's paying it forward in many retrospects of changing people's lives. We get caught up in our own BS. So we're financially struggling. We're financially strapped. We're broke, whatever it is. You know, when we first started in this industry, it was the same way for Susan and I. We were flat broke. In fact, we were about to lose our home. But I can tell you, the outside world had no idea, because we were more concerned with paying it forward to people. We were more concerned with not putting our crap in somebody else's life. And I'm going to use an analogy that I always use, and my wife doesn't like this analogy sometimes. That analogy is the same. This is no different than if we were to all go out for dinner, everybody on this line sitting at a big table with me, and I were to excuse myself and get up and walk to the bathroom, and I were to go to the bathroom, number two, in a big brown bag and bring it and set it in the middle of the table. How many people would stay sitting at the table with me? I think everybody would probably get up and run. Because that's what happens when we hand people our negativity. That's what happens when we are nasty towards somebody, a perfect stranger. That's what happens when we're driving down the road and we're laying on the horn and having road rage at somebody. And I'm a culprit. I was a chronic road rager, and it took me many years to realize how bad I had gotten. One day I was sitting at a stoplight, and a guy bumped my Jeep, and I got out, and this was pre-personal development. I got out, walked up to his truck, and I decked him and knocked him out. When I got back in my Jeep and drove away while that guy was sitting at the stoplight, unconscious, I felt terrible. I started realizing, who had I become? What kind of person am I? And at that time in my life, I was actually working in chronic pain and rehab. I was healing people. I was working with people that had tormented, tortured lives and just wanted a little relief. But what did I become? I had become an extension of that tortured, tortured life, and I was giving it to everybody else. And I realized I had to let it go. I had to become a different person. You know, when I told you the story about Suzanne and meeting Suzanne, we were just in Florida just recently listening to a wonderful speaker, and he was talking about how a friend wanted, you know, was looking for this certain girl. And he said, well, are you that type of person to have, that deserves to have that person or that type of person in your life? And it brought tears to my eyes, because it made me realize I must be an incredibly amazing, amazing man to have attracted and brought Suzanne into my life. But it was all from what? Intention. It all came from intention. It came from blessing other people's lives. It came from paying it forward.
A lot of the time, if you notice what Rick was talking about when he was talking about him in the road rage days, that he had to gain perspective on his own life. He had to be able to take himself out of that situation and look at it as if he was that person standing on the side of the street, or that person that is hovering 500 feet above the universe, taking a global perspective, or a disinterested third-party perspective. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own lives because I bet just about every single one of you on this line would agree with me that life is not perfect all of the time. Maybe you're not getting along with someone, whether it's a personal relationship or a business relationship. Maybe you got passed over for a promotion. Maybe the finances aren't there for you. Something's not completely perfect. And it's figuring out, okay, what can I learn from this? What can I gain from this? Because the thinking, the intentions, the thoughts that you had got you in that situation. So the same thinking that got you there cannot get you out of there. It's kind of like, okay, well, the flat tire got me off to the side of the road. Well, that same flat tire can't get me back on the road. I have to pump that tire up. So no matter how bad your situation is, what have you been able to learn from it? What did it teach you? What did it now empower you to be able to go and do? What lessons did you learn that now you can pass on to somebody else? Or are you going to choose to just look at it as the world's against you, life's not perfect, depending on your belief system, God's out to get me, the world's against me, whatever it is. So how can that person who is given basically a death sentence with bone cancer look at it as positive? And somebody else can have that same thing happen, or something maybe minuscule in comparison, and think that it's just, you know, the worst thing that's ever happened in the world. I'm always amazed, and it seems to happen. Apparently I draw it to me. Whenever I'm struggling with something, no matter what it is, it seems like I allow myself to struggle for a little bit, and then the world, God, the universe, whatever you believe, brings me access to somebody else or a story about somebody else. Maybe I see it on TV or the internet, or someone tells me about it, or I hear a song, whatever it might be. And I gain perspective. Wow, I sure do lead a blessed life, no matter how bad my struggle was. I sure am glad that I have my life, because I wouldn't want to deal with what they've dealt with. Or look at all that they've overcome. I tell you, I look at the son that I have, the children that I have, the children who have blessed my life, whether they were born into my family, married into my family, or the state dropped them at my doorstep because they didn't have a family. And I was blessed with every single one of them. Did I have a perfect relationship with all of them? No, I didn't have a perfect relationship with any of them. I sure did learn a lot. They taught me a lot. And I hear about other parents' struggles. You know, sometimes we get really wrapped up in what we're going through. And I remember, you know, with whether it was the foster children we had or our own children, and I would be sitting there, and Rick and I would be sitting on the couch going, oh, my gosh, come on, really? This is horrible. I mean, you would have thought that, I don't know, like our children were mass murderers, I guess. But that's how it felt, because we were right in the middle of it. And then I would, like I said, hear a story, or I would talk to somebody, or a new foster kid would get dropped off, and I would have to read their case file. I'm like, wow, are we blessed? We have perfect children. And again, it's all about perspective. So no matter what you're going through, take just a couple of minutes. Take yourself outside of the situation. Imagine it's happening to your neighbor, or somebody else in your family, or someone you don't even know. How would you look at that situation? What silver lining can you find? What lessons can you learn that's going to make you better? Because the universe is going to throw the exact same lesson at you over and over and over again until you learn the lesson. Then you get to move forward. So gain some perspective, learn the lessons, move forward a little bit faster, and through your intention, you can create some amazing things.
Guys, you know, you want emotional freedom? You want to set your life free? You want to make things easier for you in your life? You want to simplify your life? You want to enjoy your life? It's all about paying it forward. It really is. And I know Suze always has homework because she's the teacher. She's probably going to give you guys something to do for our next call. But I will tell you, the one thing that I ask of anybody on this line is You want to set yourself free? You go out and you write about this call. You write about the gift that you got. You share it with somebody else and watch it completely, completely revolutionize your life. Because my wife once educated me about, before there's a revolution, there has to be a catalyst. And that catalyst is the thing that gets everything moving forward. Guys, this is it.
So Rick says, I love to give homework. He's right. We're going to do our Power Hour calls on the third Wednesday of every month. So on the third Wednesday, and we'll always post it, you're welcome to give us feedback. We would love feedback. If there was something you liked in the call or something that you gained from it, we would love to know that. If there was something you didn't connect with or that you really hated, we want to know that too, because that's the only way we grow and get better. But your homework, I feel like Mission Impossible, this is your mission if you choose to accept it. So your homework, if you choose to accept it, and you can go in one of two directions, or if you really want to be an overachiever and get an extra gold star, you can go and do both of these. So the next time that you're caught up in your own life, I want you to purposefully step back, either be that disinterested third party or be that 500-foot view above the world. Take that perspective and see what gifts, see what opportunities are brought to you, even though the situation isn't perfect. And as far as the intention goes, give this a try. For 3 days, monitor your thoughts. Actually, scratch that. For 1 day, monitor your thoughts. Just monitor them. Don't necessarily try to change them. Don't condemn yourself. Don't praise yourself. Just monitor your thoughts for 1 day. And then for the next 2 days, so we're still going back to a total of three, for the next 2 days, as you're in some respects still monitoring, now be purposeful about your thoughts. Catch yourself when you're not reacting or responding with a positive intention. And purposefully lay in the thoughts that you believe would be better for you, because remember, we begin from within. We change the world by changing ourselves. So how can we change ourselves in order to make this world a better place and be able to pay it forward? Now, we also always like to give a resource, because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, you come across something, you're like, gosh, I wish I would have known about that. It would have saved me a lot of headaches or a lot of time or a lot of money or whatever it is. And, you know, so we always like to throw out things that we've found to have been helpful over time for us. And I will also tell you, there is a Crawford Revolution Facebook page. If you would like to, instead of emailing us, or if you know us personally, being able to just talk to us, you can always post maybe what you gained out of the call, or if there's a specific topic you'd like us to cover, you can always leave feedback on the Crawford Revolution Facebook page. And then obviously we have CrawfordRevolution.com. It's simply a site that talks about being able to pay it forward, folks. We're even going to post calls and training videos that we've done over the years on there for people. And there are some blog posts on there that you can always respond in comments there as well. So the resource that I want to give you all is one that if you do anything on the internet, maybe you are in network marketing, maybe you're in sales, maybe, I don't know, anything that you're trying to get more traffic coming to your website, right? There was always this thing out there called SEO, search engine optimization. I hated the letters because I didn't understand them. I really didn't want to learn, because I know I can learn anything I choose. I didn't want to learn SEO. Everybody told me it was hard, it changed all the time, but they also told me it was really powerful and it could really enhance my websites and get me seen by more people, whether it's getting my message out, getting my product out, whatever it was. And I was like, well, can't I just find somebody who already knows how to do it? And we've searched a lot of years. We've used and I'll tell you, a site that we came across who has done some really fantastic work for us is called SEO-Kick, K-I-C-K.com. SEO-Kick.com. It's just a great little service that we've used for a little while now, gotten some great results of. Very inexpensive, so if that's something that it would be of value to you, Absolutely. We always, like I said, love to pay it forward. So, Rick, any final thoughts before we let him go? He's saying no. We want to get you guys out of here as close to the top of the hour as possible. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. It is our pleasure.
That it's evolution.